Catherine Rundell is the internationally best-selling author of the Impossible Creatures series. It's a fantasy series for ages 10 and up, where we are introduced to the archipelago, a cluster of unmapped islands where magical creatures of every kind have thrived for thousands of years. And Christopher, a boy from ordinary old London, who is tasked to be its guardian. Book 2 in this series is called The Poisoned King. It features castles, dragons, and revenge, brought to life by Catherine's thrilling storytelling and beautiful illustrations by Ashley McKenzie and Virginia Allen. We begin our What We're Reading conversation with Catherine Rundell describing the heroine of the story, Anya the Bird Girl.
So Anya is the princess of the island of Dusia. She is the countess of the winged forests, and she has with her always a flock of gaganas, which you find in Slavic mythology. They are known as wise birds. They have copper claws and iron beaks. But in my rendition, there is also a subspecies called the royal gaganas, which have golden beaks and silver claws. And they are guides and teachers, and they can be difficult and painful. They have a language of head gestures, which Anya herself has learnt. And a gagana can be a stern tutor, but if they love you, they will love you ferociously and forever. And I stole a lot of the story of the Poisoned King, as adults who read it will know, from the story of Shakespeare's Hamlet, in the sense that both stories begin with a poisoned king. Both stories have an uncle who the prince is almost sure has committed a terrible murder, but there needs to be proof. And after proof, there needs to be justice. And after justice, there needs to be revenge. And so Anya finds herself torn from her normal life and into this new adventure in which she first needs to essentially solve a murder mystery, but then she needs to face the fury within her own heart, and she needs to decide where her love and passion and rage can go.
I'm so glad you mentioned justice and revenge, because it is so central to this story. And it's what fuels Anya's quest. And I wondered if you found it a challenge to separate the justice from the revenge throughout the story.
I think it's exactly at the heart of the story. So I wanted, on the one hand, to have a girl whose experience of injustice, her first experience of truly violent injustice in the shape of her grandfather who has been poisoned and her father who has been blamed for the crime, I wanted it to be true rage, because I think one of the things I want to do when I write is to salute the idea of a child's intelligence, that their love is real love, their courage is real courage, and their anger is real anger. And I think we live in a world in which young people, and in particular young women, are not always allowed to feel their rage, to truly know their anger. And I think anger can destroy you. It can burn everything. But it can also be a weapon for justice. And Anya's journey is learning how to take that anger and use it not for destruction, but for the creation of something new. Although I steal a lot from Hamlet, its themes of revenge, its themes of truth and of discovery, there are also differences. Because this is a book for middle grade readers, while Hamlet ends up with everyone dead on the floor, I have chosen to go with a different ending. But I did want it to be a mirror in many ways to those ideas. And with Hamlet, of course, famously, he puts on his antic disposition. He pretends to be not in his right mind. Anya also pretends, but she doesn't pretend to be crazy. She pretends to be sweet and cute and innocent. Because I have known many spectacular young women in my time, but nobody is cute all the way down. Everyone has fire and ice in them, and I wanted a character that would salute that, in specifically a girl character.
This is What We're Reading, and we're talking with writer Catherine Rundell about book 2 in her Impossible Creatures series, The Poisoned King. Catherine, one of the wonderful things about this series so far, and this hidden magical archipelago, is that despite the magic and despite the fantastical beasts, the story brings out so much about our humanity, how as human beings we are able to inflict so much pain to others, yet also be able to love and feel joy and sacrifice in order to help others. Can you speak to how fantasy allows us to understand humanity so well?
I do think that one of the great things about fantasy is that you can offer such a range of ideas in a fairly short book. So, you know, fantasy is, in many ways, I think, one of the first ways that I, as a kid, encountered philosophy, encountered big ideas about truth and endurance and courage and death. But also, of course, fantasy can be a spectacular way to have great jokes and to have great descriptions of food and to see people at rest and in delight, because I think fantasy is a great engine for ecstasy, for delight, for pleasure, for joy. And so I wanted to make sure that even though this is a book with a furious main character, I wanted to make sure that it is also a book with enormous amounts of light to it, so that you can draw children in. And I think the best way to salute a child's intelligence has always been and will always be with a good joke. I think a good joke honours us all. And so I make sure that there are, in amongst, you know, evocations of Hamlet and the Odyssey, that there are also every range of joke, from the kind of more sophisticated ones that an adult would delight in, to also, you know, just really straightforward fart jokes. Because I think, you know, we ignore the pedagogical importance of a fart joke at our peril.
There is a gorgeous bestiary included at the end of the book. It's got illustrations and descriptions of all the creatures that appear in the story. So I wonder if you have a favorite creature from this story that you'd share with us.
I always struggle with this because there are so many I adore. I love the Ratatoskas, which are greenhorn squirrels from Norse mythology, who in my book, they spread rumours around the Glimmoria archipelago, gossips. They're terrible gossips. I love the Chimera, which has three heads, so the head of a lion, the head of a goat, and its tail is the head of a snake. And so it, because it has three sets of opinions, it struggles to get a lot done. And so writing those three voices was just a completely straightforward delight. And I think maybe my very favourite is the tiny Jaculous dragon, who also opens the book, who comes to summon Christopher, the main character of book one, back into the archipelago. He's small enough to fit on the top joint of your thumb, but has enough fire to destroy a castle. And I love the idea of making him. I found him in Pliny. He exists in Pliny's Historia Naturalis, written in the year 70 AD, but I took him and gave him the personality of like a slightly drunk professor who is always cross, and writing him was a real delight.
The Poison King is book two. What's in store for the next book?
So the series will be at least five books. I am already most of the way through book three, so that will come out roughly this time next year. And then I know that I would also love to write more in this world. Jacques, the tiny Jaculous dragon, one of the running jokes of the story is that he insists that one of the characters, Christopher, write him his biography one day. And so I think that maybe I'll write Jacques's biography. I think it might be called Great Men I Have Known and Eaten. I think that would be fun. And we also just, the news just came out that we have a partnership with Disney to hopefully make a series of films, which I will write and which I am so excited to begin.
Congratulations. That is going to be amazing. Catherine Rundle is the author of The Poisoned King. It's book two in the Impossible Creatures series. It's What We're Reading. I'm Tammy Bobrowski.